Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Psalm number 10, please. Psalm number 10. And we're taking up again the study that we have been pursuing and which yesterday we left off. I didn't quite get as far as I thought I might, but we'll continue it this morning in the will of the Lord. I want just to read the first verse of the psalm because it really deals with the heart of what it is we want to press home upon you. Let's look at it. Psalm 10, verse 1. Verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? That reveals a lot to us regarding the circumstances that the nation of Israel will find themselves in the future. And that's what we're looking at, because our theme that we're following is what we find in the Psalms regarding prophecy concerning the nation of Israel at the end of this age. Now, that's something that comes up many places in the Bible. In fact, and I have mentioned this in earlier studies, when Jacob was dying, he was lying in bed, his last days had come, and he called all his sons together. And he said to them, I want to tell you what will happen to Israel, the nation, your offspring in the latter time. An important period in the history of Israel. It's that time just before the Lord comes, and it's a time leading up to the greatest blessing of God upon the Jewish people. But that's for another study. Let's just take up then where we left off yesterday in the will of the Lord. And I want us to see here in this psalm the pain that Israel will suffer, the grief, the sorrow, the sufferings of the nation in the last time. I have to hasten and say that it's a suffering brought upon themselves by their rejection of the Lord Jesus. And boys and girls, let me tell you, it's not just Israel that has suffered and will suffer as a result of rejecting Christ. That's what happens to everyone who rejects the Savior. There's nothing but suffering for them. If you reject a place of shelter in a time of storm, you're going to get wet and soaked and chilled and cold and miserable. And when you reject the refuge that is found in the Lord Jesus, there's nothing but eternal misery and shame and suffering ahead. And the Jewish nation is presently suffering throughout the world. There is a shadow upon the Jewish people because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus, but that's going to get worse at the close of this age. They're going to encounter what the Bible speaks of as the Great Tribulation. Tribulation simply means trouble. And I want us to look at some of the characteristics of this Great Tribulation. And I say it as a warning. I want you to notice that this is what has happened and what will happen to the Jewish people because of their rejection of Christ, and the same will happen to everyone. So I'm issuing a warning, because if you're one of those who has turned their back upon the Lord Jesus, then you may learn from what the poor Jewish people are suffering and will suffer. Let's first of all notice that there is the pain of being hated and despised by all. The Jewish people are a people who have suffered at the hands, I think, of every nation, including our own nation. Even at this present time, you know, within one of the political parties, although it has hit the headlines, it's not the only political party that has the same disposition toward the Jews. But the British Labour Party has an ongoing row, controversy within its ranks, because within the Labour Party there are those who, I think it can be said, despise the Jews, mock the Jews, and have made statements making it clear that as far as they are concerned, the Jews are to be blamed for this, for that, and for the other thing. And some of them have been so outspoken that the Labour Party leadership has felt it necessary to expel them or rebuke them and shame them. It's a strange thing, because the Labour Party has traditionally been a party in which Jews have played a part, but even so there is this opposition. As I said, they're not the only party. In the history of the United Kingdom, particularly the history of England, there has been opposition to the Jews. Oh yes, there was a refuge given to them in times of trouble back in the days of Cromwell, who was a man of God, despite what public opinion may be of him, and public opinion holds poor old Cromwell in a very low position, principally because he was a Christian. But he was kind to the Jews, but there were many who were not kind to the Jews. And again, there was a welcome given to Jews escaping from the persecutions of Hitler, but not everyone. And you can read in the daily newspapers of attacks on the street upon Jews. And it's not just in our country, it's in every country. They are a people hated. They are a people hated. And particularly that hatred will grow in the last days. And that's a very hard thing to put up with when everybody's looking at. I mentioned to you how I have watched documentaries on the Second World War, and many of the documentaries feature the treatment of the Jews by Hitler and his forces. And I have looked on with sorrow of heart at how the Jews were treated. And you see big German soldiers smiling all over their face and laughing as Jews are being herded together and they're raining down blows upon them, hitting them with the butt of their rifle, hitting them a kick as they were passing and looking at the camera and laughing because it was just sport to them. And the poor Jew looked so sad and broken and miserable. That's how they were treated. And it was but a foreshadowing of what lies ahead. Oh, that the Jewish people, when blows are raining down on them, and they're being kicked and mocked, might remember that's what they did with the Lord Jesus. That's what they did with him. When he came to his trial, there were those who hit him on the face. There were those who plucked hairs of his beard. They plucked it out. And they buffeted him, punched him. And then they gathered round the cross as he was dying there for sinners and mocked him. Mocked him. And it'll come back on everyone who engages in such behaviour. So, at the end of the day, the end of this age, the poor Jew will feel the consequences of his rejection of the Lord Jesus. That's what we read in verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. In the last days, evil men are going to imagine what crimes and hurtful things they can do toward the Jewish people. And it was but a foreshadowing of what lies ahead. Oh, that the Jewish people, when blows are raining down on them, and they're being kicked, mocked, might remember it's what they did with the Lord Jesus. When he came to his trial, there were those who hit him on the face. There were those who plucked the very hairs of his beard. They buffeted him. And then they gathered round the cross. He was dying there, sinners, and mocked, coming back. And it'll come back on everyone who engages in such behaviour. So, at the end of this age, poor Jew will feel the consequence of his rejection of the Lord Jesus. That's what we read in verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. In the last days, evil men are going to imagine what crimes and hurtful things they can do toward the Jewish people. People will just try to imagine all sorts of things that they can do against the poor Jew. If you look at verse 8, it says of the wicked, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong one. Now that's a reference to the wicked mind of the opponent of the Jews and how they act toward them, like a lion crouching in ambush. That's how it will be for the poor Jew. That's how it was in the days of Hitler. They were just like prey, like an animal that was being targeted by a lion. And so it will be again, when Antichrist and his supporters are in power. This has happened to the Jew, of course, before. It's been inflicted upon them because of their rejection of God's truth. And I can't emphasize enough, that is the result of turning your back on God. And turning their back on God is something the Jews have done many times. Now remember, they're a favored nation. The rest of the world was in darkness in the Old Testament times. Their backs were toward the Lord, but their faces had never been toward the Lord. But with the Jew, it was a different matter. They had been brought into light. They had been brought into favor. They had been awakened to a knowledge of God, but they turned away many times. Listen to these words I read to you from 1 Kings, the chapter 9, the verses 6 through to 9. And here God gives a warning. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land. The first thing they're going to lose is the land, which I have given them, and this house, the temple, they're going to lose it too, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. That's what will happen. It is, as it were, God shutting his eyes upon the land of Israel and upon the temple in which they worship. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword. That word byword means a mocking, sneering, cutting, jibe. That's how people have frequently spoken of the poor Jew, in a jibing, mocking fashion. And even as I say it, the image of those German soldiers, Second World War period, and how they mocked the poor Jew. Slaughtered 6 million of them. 6 million. That's almost twice the number of people that live on this island. 6 million Jews. They will be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. People who would come to Jerusalem and see the state that it was in and the temple as a result of God's judgment, they're going to be astonished. Even as in recent times, people were astonished at how the Jew was treated during the Second World War. Couldn't believe it. And to this day, there are people who find it so astonishing, they say it never happened. Couldn't have happened. But it did. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. That's the explanation for what would happen to Israel. They forsook God. And to this day, by and large, the Jewish people have no time for God. It's not that they particularly worship idols, but you can engage in false worship in more ways than just worshipping an idol. If you turn your back on God and say he doesn't exist as far as you are concerned, and you set your affections on this world's goods and this world's entertainments and this world's amusements, you have made a god of those things. I think I'm right in saying the chief influences in Hollywood and the film industry were Jewish individuals. They were, as it were, the high priests of entertainment. And millions and millions and millions across the world worship at the temple of entertainment and look with adoration upon the film stars. And many of those who headed up that organization were Jews. Something to think about. Oh yes, they've turned from God. And that turning reached its peak at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected Christ as their Savior, rejected him as their God, and in rejecting him, rejected Jehovah, the God who had favored them for centuries. They turned their back utterly upon him. They said, you remember, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, you couldn't reject God in a plainer fight. He says he's the King of the Jews. We reject. And they have been a wandering, hated people ever since. We say this in sadness. We don't say this in bitterness. Because every Christian should love the Jew. Do you know why? Because our Savior is a Jew. The Lord Jesus took upon himself humanity. But he didn't take American humanity, or British, or Russian, or French. He became a Jew. And we should love the nation of whom the Lord Jesus came. Pray for them. The Lord Jesus would want us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we don't say anything that we have just said out of hatred for the Jew. No, the very opposite is the case. Then again, the pain that they will suffer is not only because they will be hated by everybody, particularly in those last days, but it will come also from a consciousness that the Lord is far off from them. They will become aware. They're not particularly aware of that today. Jewish people never, generally speaking, give thought to the Lord or how they are related to him or how they stand in his sight. They don't ever give much thought to religious matters. But one day they're going to realize in a powerful way, as we have here in the very opening verse of this psalm. Look at verse 1 again. We read it earlier. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord, O Jehovah? You see that Lord is spelt in capital letters. That means that the underlying Hebrew word is Jehovah, the glorious title of God. Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? There is a coming day when the Jew, who today is indifferent, careless, gives no thought to God, will become conscious of how they stand God. Notice what it is. They'll recognize that God is standing. The word means still. He's standing still. Do you remember what David did when he went out to meet Goliath? Goliath despised him, you remember? Mocked him. You think a wee boy with a stick is going to beat me? Then what did David do? He answered him. He said, I'm going in the name of the Lord to bring you down today. We are told that he ran. He ran at Goliath. He wasn't timid and fearful and wondering, can I really beat this giant? He ran at him with enthusiasm and courage and joyfulness. David was a picture of our Savior. He has ever run at our enemies. He doesn't hold back. He charges them in order to defeat them and deliver us. But the Jew in the last day will recognize God's not running to our help. Why standest thou afar off? He was standing still, not coming to their aid, as he had done so many, many, many times. Then again, it says he's afar off. He's afar off. In Exodus chapter 2 and the verse 4, we have, as it were, the same phrase. Exodus chapter 2, the verse 4. And his sister stood afar off, to wit, to know what would be done to him. That's the sister of Moses. Little Moses had been put in the basket, and the basket had been set on the water among the reeds. And then his sister, Miriam, I would say she was likely only a teenager. She stood back to see what would happen. Would anybody come seek to look after the little baby? She stood back. Well, that's the same word we have, or the same phrase we have here in Psalm 10. The Lord standing back, watching Israel being persecuted and abused, to see if they will recognize that their only hope is him. Again it says the Lord is hidden from them. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself? Boys and girls, I cannot emphasize what a dreadful thing it is when God hides himself from us. We can't find him. We can't find him. He withdraws himself. We can't find him when we need him. And this is what's going to happen to Israel in the last days. And it's all part of God's plan to bring home to them their sin and their iniquity. He's hidden from them, hidden from them. In the verse 12, they appear, it seems, to be forgotten by God. Verse 12, Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not, forget not. The Jew is going to feel God's forgotten. God is forgotten. It brings home to us the debt into which the Jewish people are going to be brought in preparation for God's mercy to come upon. See, boys and girls, we'll never seek to the Lord until we are brought low and made to recognize the emptiness of life. As long as we think we can do something, we can accomplish something, we'll never need God. When we realize we're lost, utterly lost, and God's afar off, that's when we will recognize how much we need him. And so it will be with the poor Jew. At the end of King Saul's life, first king of Israel, he was in this state. He was facing the Philistines who came out in power, and he prayed. He sought the Lord. He couldn't find him. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read a most solemn warning, and it's a warning that we should all take heed to. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27, when fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why was that? Why did God do that? Well, if you look up a little earlier in the chapter to the verse 23, you'll see why. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Sinners will find that what they did to God, God will do to them. They mocked the gospel and laughed at it. Well, God will laugh at them when their trouble comes. Boys and girls, let us learn the lesson of the Jewish nation who rejected the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that you will apply your word with power to the hearts of boys and girls. Thank thee for their attention. O God, may thy word be written upon the heart. Remember the school today. Remember every family connected with the school. You know the needs there are amongst the families. God of mercy today, and draw near and comfort. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.